Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Future Proof Podcast, brought to you by the leading providers of IT apprenticeships across the UK, QA Apprenticeships. Now, Future Proof is the podcast all about assessing today's job market and raising questions everybody should be asking to ensure a future-proof career. See what we did there? In each episode, we take a career topic and blow it wide open with the help from our powerful QA alumni network and a whole range of expert guests. I'm Luke Roberts, and it's no secret that I'm not an apprentice. In fact, when I left school, I didn't even know that it was an option to be one. Over the next 20 minutes, I'll be acting as your guide and inquisitive host as we delve into the deep truth behind the questions on the minds of many new recruits. Choosing your first employer, and are you missing the big picture? Later, I'll be speaking with Angel Sequeira, an IT security specialist at Nomura, Amar Ray, who's an enterprise system engineer at Cisco, and Asher Newbigging, software developer at Tangent. All our guests today are alumni of QA Apprenticeships and have been specially selected to join me in the studio. Lucky them. They're going to help answer many of the questions that you out there want answered. So, here's a little taster of what's coming up on this episode.
In a smaller company, we get to experience so many other roles simply because we don't have enough people to fill them all.
Yeah.
So we have to branch out, and that's a fantastic way of discovering new skills and new abilities and new joys.
So all I can ask now is that whatever you're doing, wherever you may be, put your pen and paper down, just listen, learn, and enjoy. Hello to you all, and of course, it goes without saying, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. Now, I thought, before we get down to the nitty-gritty, it might be fun for the listeners and for myself to have you answer a few quick-fire job interview questions. Dun, dun, dun.
This is going to be fun.
Don't be nervous, you know, just so we can all get to know each other a bit more. But before we crack on, let's get the formalities out of the way. So can you please state your name, when you finished your apprenticeship, where you work now, and your job title?
Right, well, my name is Asher. My job title is Apprentice Software Developer. I'm still an apprentice. I finished the first level of my apprenticeship just at the end of last year, and I'm going on to begin a degree apprenticeship in a week's time.
My name's Amar. I'm a systems engineer for Cisco in sales. I finished my apprenticeship August 2017, and I'm just about to start on my degree course that my company have allowed me to sneak onto.
My name is Angel. I work in IT security at Nomura. I finished my apprenticeship back in 2017, and since I've become a perm member of staff.
Awesome. All present and correct. Right, now, on with the interview. Good luck. Everyone relax. Okay. Amar, when you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
An astronaut.
Angel, what is the best career advice you've ever been given, and who was it from?
Network as much as you can, and I think from one of my first managers.
Asher, if you could be any animal, what would it be and why?
Osprey, because they are crazy strong, they have to swim under the water and then back up again.
I've never heard that answer before. Good job! See, now we're really good friends. See, that was easy. It's got it all out of the way. We've known each other for years.
Perfect.
Right, now, so we're on a level playing field. It's your chance to ask me one question. And this is so unscripted, so be nice. Can we have the music back in, please?
Ooh. If you could be any character from any movie you've ever seen, what character would you be?
Mickey Mouse from every film that Mickey Mouse was in, because he was the star. And that was the end of our rapid-fire question round. Good job, everybody. OK, now it's time to move on to our round table discussion. I'm joined by Angel from Nomura, Amar from Cisco, and Asher from Tangent. So, what first made all of you decide that you wanted to join an apprenticeship? Asher.
Well, for me, it was something I always considered leading up to my GCSEs. Coming out of high school and then into sixth form, it seemed like the better idea compared to university, cost-wise. So I started looking into it, and it looked perfect for what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to go into software, and this looked like the best way forward. And I don't regret it one bit.
Awesome. How about yourself, Angel?
So when I was in college, I was actually applying for uni through UCAS. And while I was doing that, one of my teachers sent an email round about apprenticeships. And there was an article out. And I read it. I showed it to my parents. They were like, no, stop listening to him, go to uni, follow the regular route. But I sort of convinced them and I said, look, I know I want to go into IT. I was going to do a sandwich course anyway. But with this, I get a qualification, a job, and I get paid for free. So I see no harm in doing this.
Always important.
Yeah. And 4 years later, here we are.
Wicked.
Yeah, so my story wasn't that different from Angel's. I kind of had a little bit of pressure from my parents about kind of going to uni and things like that after I did my A-levels. But I looked around and I just kind of thought, I'm the youngest of quite a lot of siblings and cousins, so I kind of thought to myself, well, I've seen them go through it, and actually it doesn't look like that will be for me. And I was more interested in kind of getting to the workplace quite quickly. So after some discussions with family members, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to take this. And my parents actually challenged me and said, well, fine, if you're going to do it, well, prove us wrong. And thankfully, when I finished my apprenticeship, they kind of said, well, you proved us wrong. Thanks.
You did it.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's better to work for a large corporation or start with a small business? How's your experience with that?
So I think it really depends on how you want to navigate your career. For me, my company's worked the perfect size because, yeah, in a large organisation, you can get lost and not find your feet, whereas in a small one, there's probably a cap of how far you can get. So for me, I've managed to, mine's fairly large, but not large enough to get lost. So I've managed to grab opportunities from wherever I could and just sort of stay connected to people. And that's what's worked for me.
Yeah.
My company is like you're saying, the perfect size for me. It's not quite a large company. It's a medium to small sized company. And I absolutely love it. It's not so small that you don't feel like you're going places, but it's big enough that you can go around and you can work on different projects and you can build your role and get to know different skills that you might need in future. And it's been fantastic for me.
So, I mean, Cisco is a massive company, and we officially, I think, we employ about 80,000 people. But in, like the guy said, sometimes people can get a little bit lost and can kind of think to yourself, well, I feel like just a number. If I'm honest, I don't feel like that. I've been quite lucky in the managers and teams that I've been in where they've been on quite large projects and kind of been thrown in the deep end a lot of the time. So that's kind of, I suppose, in a way, you can kind of build yourself up and look to shine. But I kind of see it from the other angle as well. Cisco do buy a lot of companies, smaller companies, and you see some of them that have had apprentices before that have then gone into roles, and as they've been bought by bigger companies, I mean, that's a slingshot to kind of being very successful, yeah, very young in your career. And I think it kind of works off a bit of kind of risk and reward kind of process. In a smaller company, I suppose you have the risk of maybe the company dissolving at some point, maybe not being as steady as a massive corporation, but the reward that if that company does do well is absolutely like incredible in a financial perspective.
So Cisco being as big as they are, did their reputation help you decide that you wanted to work for them?
Not really. As a consumer, I didn't really know that much about Cisco. I actually had the choice to go between a British Airways apprenticeship and a Cisco apprenticeship.
Wow.
And I was, on the day, I was thinking to myself, well, actually, I'm going to go for the British Airways apprenticeship. I know who they are. Although Cisco seems like a massive company, I don't really know, I haven't been exposed to them that much. And one of my aunts came over on an ad hoc kind of visit. And she's very much kind of seen Cisco and kind of the business-to-business environment. And she said to me, you will be absolutely stupid not to take this opportunity that's in front of you. People wait their entire lives to work for Cisco, and you've got it at such a young age. And she's quite a sometimes stern
person. So that's probably the best bit of advice you've ever been given?
Yeah. One of two, yeah. The other bit of advice was probably ask for permission and not forgiveness. You're more likely to get it.
So, look, I want to take you all back to the very beginning of your careers. And in terms of working environment, what were some of the key features that you'd look for?
For me, it was the character of the people I was with. If it felt friendly, if it felt like a family, a proper team, then I absolutely loved it. And as soon as I walked into the Tangent offices for my interview, I instantly knew this was a brilliant place. Everyone was very vibrant. They were very loving towards one another. Everything was fantastic. It was like a big group of friendships. And the idea of there being any arguments or disagreements was actually difficult to come by. Of course, there are and there have been, but it always gets sorted out and everyone's at the best intentions to both get the job done and also get closer together doing it as a workforce, as a team.
And is there a good Christmas party at the end of the year?
Always, every single time.
And that always helps, doesn't it?
It always does.
Always helps. And Asha, going back to what you said, so working at Tangent, you said the team is so great, it's so personable, but how about the leadership?
Oh, it's fantastic. We actually have within my team, we work with quite a big client, and so we've got a team of 8 people. We work very, very closely with the project manager and the project director, and we literally work 2 meters away from one another. I think that's another great thing about being in a small to medium-sized company. You literally work in the same space as everyone, the whole leadership. We see the big boss running around, and we get to know about everything that's going on in the office because everything's so tightly packed and put together. And just being able to work so much with the project manager and the project director, we can know what's going on, what's happening on their side of things as opposed to just our own. I like to talk about what you mentioned there about having more experience in different roles. In a smaller company, we get to experience so many other roles simply because we don't have enough people to fill them all.
Yeah.
So we have to branch out, and that's a fantastic way of discovering new skills and new abilities and new joys, things that you enjoy that you never thought you would. Like if you go into leadership maybe for a bit because they need you to fill in for a meeting or something like that. It's absolutely fantastic being able to fill in those different roles, and you have to be close with the leadership in order to do that. So being able to have those connections is actually really, really helpful, beneficial, and we just love it.
So keeping on that theme, Angel, progression at Nomura, is that important to you, or are you quite happy at the moment?
I think it's really, really important, especially when, you know, when I came in as being an apprentice, it was important for me to know where I was going to go. Like, it wasn't I'm going to do an apprenticeship and then leave just to try it out. It was important to know that I'm going to stay at this company, and at the end of the day, they're making an investment in me, and they need to see that get paid off. I had loads of guidance and support from my team, from my manager, my mentor. And eventually, once I finished my apprenticeship, we came to the conclusion that, you've worked hard enough, you deserve to be promoted to this level. And once I got that, now we have a whole plan in place to say, this is where I'm going to go. This is like pretty much what the grads have is what we have as well. So in that sense, I do think it matters, and it's very important to make it clear from day one.
One of the things I would say to young people is when they're looking at different job roles and maybe exploring and kind of figuring out what they want to do, is speak to the leadership, maybe research leadership team, because actually the managers you have early on in your career, I think, make a massive impact, your outview on not just the company you work for, but maybe the job role that you're doing. I mean, there were some managers which I just had a little bit of personality clash with. Not that I didn't like them, they were great people, but just not something that I wanted to do. But I mean, the manager I've got at the moment is really big on progression in young people, and obviously that works fantastically for me. It means we can have open conversations with them. But you can only do that if you're exposed to them. So maybe being in a smaller company, you like you said, you are exposed to them a lot more, so you can have those open conversations with them. Sometimes that can be hard in a big company because it's a big company. People are flying around and actually maybe out of the country and things like that. And I would consider myself quite lucky to be in a big company and also have a manager that's like that. So thankfully got the best of both worlds. But I can guarantee you some people in smaller companies have massive exposure to their leadership team.
So, going back to the theme of our show, choosing your first employer, and are you missing the big picture? So, guys, how much guidance were you all given before you started your apprenticeships?
I'll be really honest. In school, I don't think we were given that much guidance about kind of career choices and what there is out there and different paths that you can take. A lot of it was kind of an hour session, maybe. And actually, I know that when you're in school, being 14 and 15, sometimes it can be difficult to sit down with a careers advisor and go, actually, what are my options in the future? What fields can I open myself up to? But I think that needs to be done a little bit more in school, and maybe a little bit more intensely. Because I think at that age, if you start to kind of figure out, okay, this is the kind of direction I want to go, maybe into a STEM field or creative arts or things like that, actually, it can kind of focus you a little bit more. When you're taking those options of GCSE, A-level, when you start to think about those things, maybe having that bit of guidance, I don't know if anyone else kind of found that in school.
Yeah.
How about yourself, Angel?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's really sad that, especially at my college, would have all the unis come in to tell us, oh, you know, come to us, do UCAS form, do these courses here. And the sad part is I was never exposed to apprenticeships. Had my teacher not sent that email, had I not read it, I would not be here today. And it's growing now. I'm so happy to see that there's, you know, so much work being done, like through QA, we're getting to go to schools and colleges to promote it. Whereas back when I was a student, there was none of that. So I'm so happy that's being done. And it's just...
Yeah. So do you think there is change happening?
Yes.
The approach is totally different now,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It's changing. It's not where I'd ideally like it to be. Ideally, it should be that everyone has an equal opportunity to know about both. There's still people that don't know about them.
But so. I think this goes back to your earlier question, Luke, when you say, oh, there are people who, especially young people, who are mismatched in jobs. Well, I think a lot of that is maybe them exploring, actually, is this something I want to do? Because they haven't had the opportunity to maybe see what that's like. I mean, yeah, we have a little bit of work experience, maybe a week at a time at school, but actually we don't have someone like from industries that come in and talk about their day-to-day role and actually give you an insight into what these industries are like. So you might get a lot of young people who are mismatched, who feel mismatched in their jobs, but that's only because they're going around exploring, trying to work out what they want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I was no different. Cisco's apprenticeship program, when I did it 4 years ago when I started, I think we did like 12 different roles within 12 months.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, going through that many roles, it was the same kind of process, just at a massively accelerated rate.
So was that a good experience, trying your hand at so many different roles?
I think a little bit good and bad. It has its pros and cons. Pros, obviously, there's a lot of people in the business who don't get to see that much of it. I mean, there are people who've worked at Cisco for a very long time and still not done that many job roles. The cons is that sometimes your mind can get a little bit warped. I mean, there was 4 weeks where I was in kind of very, very technical lab sessions. And the next 4 weeks I was in... HR, which is a completely different part of the business. But again, it allowed me to go, well, this is for me and that's not for me. And actually, different people then went down their different paths as they drilled down throughout the years. And again, I think that goes back to maybe that's what quite a lot of young people are doing when they're going from job to job to job.
So Angel, you know, many graduates and young people are mismatched to their jobs. So why do you think that's happening?
So I think it really depends on what jobs they're looking for and what the company has to offer. I know from speaking to quite a few of my friends, sometimes it depends on the supply and demand. So some companies have gaps in their roles that they can't fill, and there's roles that grads want that they can't necessarily get because they're filled up. But I think my main advice to young people is take any job you can get at this point of your career, because everything you do is going to help you in some way or the other. There's no point putting blinders on so early, because I know I've done jobs which weren't my first choice, but they've led me to where I am now, and they've helped me in a whole host of ways which I never would have imagined.
You've done my job for me and skipped ahead, because you've just given
another question.
No, you've given your best piece of advice, and that was awesome.
Perfect.
You did that. So we might as well stay with you, Asha. What is the best piece of advice that you can give to people out there?
I'd say go for it. If it's something that they love, if it's something that they're after, if it's something that their heart really goes for, I think they should just look all they can. Best piece of advice my mum gave me was actually that wherever you are, just stop, think about where you're at and what it is you would love to do more than anything else tomorrow, and decide from then on to go after it no matter what.
Awesome. And Amar, you briefly touched on a bit of advice from your aunt, but what is the best piece of advice you could give?
I would kind of stick by the piece of advice I was given by one of the rotation managers I had, which is definitely ask for forgiveness rather than permission. And it kind of pushes on Asha's point as well. Actually, if it's something that you want to do, go ahead and do it. But actually, if you ask for people's permission, you're not likely to get it, because some people may have misconceptions about what you think and stuff like that. But actually, people are more willing to forgive. And actually, if you've shown that you've put in the hard work, effort, and it hasn't worked, well, actually, people are more likely to forgive rather than saying, oh, no, I don't think that's going to work to start off with, because then you don't go and explore. Had I done that, I wouldn't have gone for an apprenticeship. I would have been at uni. But I kind of said to my parents, well, I'll ask for your forgiveness later. I'm not going to ask permission first.
Guys, I'm going to be honest. I'm probably a bit old to do an apprenticeship, but I'm inspired. I'm inspired by you guys.
Never too old, Luke. Never too old.
You have had your coffee today, because you've made my job so easy. That has been a pleasure and a breeze. But we are out of time. But before we go, in front of each of you, you've got an envelope. Now, only open them one at a time. Angel, we're going to start with you. I want you to read the question inside and answer it for us, please.
Okay.
Over to you.
I'm really scared.
It's tense.
Oh, my God.
Theoretical drum roll.
Okay. What would be your dream role to progress to? Okay. So at the moment, I'm quite junior in the IT sec team. And as soon as I started, I knew this is where I wanted to be going on in my future, in my career. So I think my dream role would be to head up IT security globally.
Is that achievable?
Yes.
Awesome. Amar, over to you. Open your envelope. Okay. Read the question and give us the answer.
It's not for £1 million, is it?
I can't give anything away.
Oh, okay. What one bit of advice would you give to someone entering a new career for the first time? Be brave, go with your gut instinct, listen to the people around you, but ultimately make the decision that you want to do and stick by it and be proud of it. Because actually, even if it's a mistake, the acronym for failure is first attempt in learning.
Awesome.
Wow.
Asha, the envelope is yours.
This is the £1 million.
That's £1 million.
Someone's got to have it.
Ah, no, here we go. If you weren't working for your employer, what kind of large or small company would you like to work for and why? If I weren't working for my employer.
Good question.
It's a very good question. It's a very difficult question. I've fallen in love with my employer.
Good answer.
They'll like that. I would probably stick with a medium-sized company, medium to small, simply because there is a togetherness of it all. You do get to explore different roles. It can be quite stressful at times. You become a lot more relied upon as a person than as just a role. But a medium to small size tech company. I think I'd love to be part of a startup. I'd love to be able to explore different technologies that I haven't necessarily worked with. My company works specifically with web applications and websites. So I'd love to be able to get involved with something like a game or an application. I'd love that. As a small startup company, I think it would be fantastic for exposure and also just friendships.
Excellent. Well, look, thank you very much, Angel, Amar and Asha, for joining me.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Cheers. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
So that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thanks again to all our guests and to everyone at QA Apprenticeships for making this happen. I hope you've gained some new thoughts and findings on the importance of choosing the right employer. And maybe take this moment right now and reflect on everything that you've just heard and ask the question, am I in the best working environment for me to strive in my own career? Remember, you can find all the information that was covered in this episode on the QA Apprenticeships website. And please remember to subscribe, share and rate the Future Proof podcast, which you can find on Audio Boom, Apple iTunes, Spotify and wherever else you indulge in your podcasting needs. Remember to rate 5 stars. Now, if you have any questions you'd like answered on our next episode, you can ask them via Twitter at QA Apprentices. If you've finished your QA apprenticeship, you can join the alumni community by visiting the website. I've been Luke Roberts, and this has been the Future Proof Podcast. Thanks for listening.